Since we did have the quiz today, we are somewhat short-changed on the amount of time I have to cover this topic. So it's very likely we're not going to get to all of this today. I'm just going to get as much as I can get done, and then we may pull some of these topics into the kinetics discussion. This is not going to be a full repeat of everything that you learned in 1A regarding thermodynamics, but there's some fundamentals that we have to know because there's this word stable that we're going to throw around a lot, saying this carbocation is more stable than that one, or this alkene is more likely to form because it's more stable. But there's a very rigorous definition for when you can use that word stable and be secure in using that term. There are also these reaction coordinate diagrams where I showed energies of reactants and products going to and from a transition state. In order to really understand what that diagram means, we have to know what the quantities involved in that diagram are. So that's why we're going through this review of thermodynamics. Very first thing we have to start from then is, what is a system? When you're referring to a system in thermodynamics, what does that mean?
Solution.
Maybe. What in general does the term system mean?
Not the surroundings. What you're trying to observe.
So I heard some suggestions. One was solution, one was not the surrounding, and one is what you're trying to observe. It is anything that you want it to be. It is a frame of reference, but it does define an interior, which is the system, and then everything that's not at that, which is what we call the surroundings. So the system is an arbitrary frame of reference. In chemistry, is usually a solution, which means it excludes the glassware containing the solution. Really, it could be anything that you want it to be, but again, we're going to end up with the system versus everything else, which is the surroundings. What is internal energy, which we generally specify with the capital letter U? Ooh, two of the most fundamental terms, and those are the ones that have stumped you. What is internal energy? How is it different from kinetic energy or potential energy? Or is it different?
Is it kinetic energy?
Well, it's sort of kinetic energy, but it's really the sum total of all the vibrational, rotational, and translational motion of all matter within the system. It is similar to what the definition for heat is then. This magic quantity called heat that gets transferred, that really is energy in the form of molecular motion. Internal energy is not a directly measurable quantity. We can't stick a probe in and get the total internal energy content. However, we can measure changes in internal energy. Now, related to this, we have the first law of thermodynamics. Which, what is the first law of thermodynamics? Energy is conserved, energy and matter are conserved in what's known as a closed system. So if we have a system, the boundary of which doesn't let matter get in or out and doesn't let energy get in or out, then first law says, well, the total energy of the system is going to remain constant because you're not letting anything in or out. So in other words, energy doesn't get created from nothing. Empty space doesn't turn into energy. Within that system, the energy can change forms, but it won't change its total. Within a closed system, a system that does not allow energy or matter to flow across the system boundaries. Within a closed system, the change in internal energy is equal to zero. We use this in calorimetry, where we pretend that those oh-so-scientific styrofoam cups are their own perfect little closed systems. And so we imagine that a chemical reaction going on is releasing energy, and the water in that system is absorbing the energy, and that the two balance each other out. Not really true, but the way that we teach the lab here, we make that simplification. More generally, the change in internal energy can be ascribed to two quantities, heat and work. Heat, again, is also this wiggling of molecules. So if you have faster molecules, they're bumping into slow ones. Some of that energy is transferred, and that is heat. That is what Q is. W is work, which most generally refers to mechanical work. So particularly in chemical reactions, it's in the form of what's called pressure volume work. That aspect, though, I want to totally avoid talking about because that really involves a more rigorous review of thermodynamics, and a little physics doesn't hurt as well. So instead of talking about W or delta U, we're going to talk about this thing instead called enthalpy. Enthalpy is a measure of internal energy adjusted for pressure volume work. Yes?
There's no H.
That's, you didn't give me a chance to write it down yet.
No, I mean the enthalpy.
Oh, I'm writing so quickly I'm not even getting it. No, there is an H there, yes. And then there's another H for you. So enthalpy, delta H, is a measure of internal energy adjusted for any pressure volume work. Technically, delta H is equal to delta U plus PV. Not an equation that we're going to use. Just if I'm defining it, I might as well define it formally. But the practical use of it is it's the raw energy of reactants or products. That's how we're going to use it in chemical reactions. So if we had bonds breaking, you're going to have to add energy in to break those bonds. If you have bonds forming, that's going to cause a release of energy. So we need to worry about
Well, when you add energy in or release energy, from the system's perspective, do we call that plus values or minus values? So what is the sign convention? If we have delta H greater than zero, what does that mean? Energy is being added into the system. And yes, we have this term endothermic. So I won't write this down yet because we'll discuss bond forming and breaking in a moment, but which process would be endothermic? Bond formation or bond breaking? From the perspective of the molecule involved. Bond breaking would be endothermic because you're going to have to add energy into the system in order to break that bond. The opposite is delta H less than zero, negative, which means exothermic. Energy is released from the system. And so the example again would be to form a bond. If you form a bond, the molecule is going to end up in lower energy. That energy goes somewhere outside of the molecule. So from the molecule's perspective, to form a bond is an exothermic process. Let me pause here because I know I've given you definition after definition after definition. Let me ask if there's questions about these definitions. As far as how important are these definitions, enthalpy is the thing we're going to be using an awful lot. So you got to have some sense that enthalpy is related to energy content. Quite technically, it's related to this thing called internal energy, which you should at least have an idea of what internal energy is, which is this sum of all molecular motion. How come internal energy and enthalpy are two different quantities? Because if you had a gas that expanded, for example, that gas has to fight against a surrounding atmosphere, which means there's work involved with that expansion. But so that we don't have to go around in every chemical reaction and worry about measuring expansions, there's this term called enthalpy that was created where effectively you ignore the work that goes into it, or it's already taken into account. So on paper, that's where this U plus PV equals H comes from. In concept, all you have to know is internal energy and enthalpy, they're both measuring energy content, but enthalpy, you kind of ignore the work part of it. That's what you need to know. You also should know what a system is, just so in the future, when you encounter thermodynamics again, you're not stumped at the simple definitions. And there's no way I'm going to ask you for this equation, Q plus W, and there's no way I'm going to ask you about this equation. It's just helped us tell the story of what is enthalpy. So, questions? Yes?
Do we need to know about the enthalpy thing? The S.
Entropy, yes. And that's was going to be the next thing, but knowing that I've got limited time, I want to make a very important statement. That enthalpy is a state function. So what is a state function? And those of you who had me for 1A or 1B better be able to answer this question. Does not matter the path we take to determine what? Whatever the function is, whatever the value you're trying to get out of it, all that matters is what is the initial and the final state of a system. So I guess before I define a state function, what is a state? Did you just say California and Texas? Where's your quiz? Let's try another answer. In chemical terms, in thermodynamic terms, Because then I would turn back and ask you, well, is the state of California an open or a closed system then? So, what is a state? The set of all physical descriptions of a system. Some examples: pressure, volume, temperature. So if you change temperature, you're changing energy content, you're changing the system. Position, in some cases, could be a state. So it's however you can describe that system, that is its state. So now back to what a state function is. The state function is a function the value of which only depends on the initial and final states, not on how the process occurred. Its contrast is a path function, which is a function the value of which entirely depends on how a process occurs. And not on its initial or final states. Before we get bogged down in examples of what a path function versus a state function is, let me explain why do we care what a state function is. Why do we care in particular what enthalpy, the fact that enthalpy is a state function. Why is that important? Because to jump to the end of it, we're going to discover Hess's law, which says the energy change in a chemical reaction depends only on its reactants or products, not how the reaction occurs. That in itself is a statement of a state function. That if you have a set of reactants, doesn't matter how you made those reactants, their energy content depends on their identity and nothing else. Then you have the products, whose energy content only depends on the identity, not how were the products made. So if you have this energy content that's unique to just its identity, and you have this energy content, it doesn't matter if it takes you one reaction, 20 reactions, 20 different kinds or possibilities of reactions to get between the reactants and products, that energy value is always constant. What that means is we can predict energy changes in a reaction. Since it doesn't matter how the reaction occurs, all that matters is what's in the reaction, then that's the only reason we can predict energy changes. If every chemical reaction had a different energy quantity with it, associated with it, for every possible way to do a chemical reaction, you couldn't predict anything. So fundamentally in chemistry, it's super important that this enthalpy is a state function. That aspect of it we'll have to discuss our next lecture. But let me give you an example of a state in a path function, because the enthalpy is a little bit abstract. So the example I always give is one of distance versus displacement. So if I say that here we are at De Anza, and for some of you to survive the quiz, the only way you could do it is with caffeine. So let's say that we have Coffee Society across the street there. If I ask you, what is the shortest distance, not physically how you walk it, but just geographically, what is the shortest distance between these two points? The proverbial answer is what? A straight line, correct? So that is displacement. Which is the shortest distance. What is the only way that I can change that displacement? Move the location. In other words, that displacement matters or is determined by where did I start, what was my initial state, and where did I end, what was my final state. No matter how you walk it, the question is not being asked, how much distance does it take for you to get from here to there? The question is asking, what is the separation of those two points? And unless we have an earthquake that shifts the earth or something else happens, those two points don't move, and so that distance doesn't change. But now, if I ask you about your total distance, you have to walk around buildings, and maybe you take some kind of detour. So that total distance, the shortest possible distance that could be, is displacement itself. But it could be anything aside from that as well, anything longer. So you, depending on what path you take, it exactly determines what this total distance is. Work is a path function. It matters how does the work occur to tell you how the quantity of work that's involved. Enthalpy, energy content, is a state function. So knowing the difference between state and path functions is crucial for Hess's law, what we will now have to discuss the next lecture.